Hey, thanks for being a part of the conversation. Let's do some pod crashing. Episode number 232 is with John and Johnny Rondi from the Johnny Drinks podcast. Hey, I got to ask you guys a question right from the very beginning, and it's based on, I'm an instructor for future broadcasters as well as podcasters, and one of the things that I always talk to them about is be careful with who you choose to be your partner on your podcast. And then I see you guys working very well together. What happens when one of you wants to, I'm going to go check out some football today. Come on, Dad, we got to do that podcast. Yeah, let's do it another day. How do you guys deal with that?
We don't really. We have a schedule, and when it's time to film, it's time to film. So we both sort of understand that. I don't think we've ran into maybe issues on the opposite end where we want to just keep going and we should probably stop, because content creation has to be creative and can't just bang it out and expect a good result. So yeah, from the podcast standpoint, we film once a week. We have a great team of editors. And so if I have him for the full day, we may get one podcast in, we may get four, but he's pretty much, and I'm pretty much locked in whenever we need to be.
Yeah. We just commit to the craft, right? So this is something that we know now is an obligation.
Yes.
We started it. It came to us. We started it, and we pick a day. And for us, it's every Tuesday that we do the podcast, and away we go.
You're so right about that. About it, it becomes a way of life, and a lot of people don't understand that. They think, okay, well, let's go in here and let's just bang this out. We'll put one up in a month, and we'll see how things go, and then they'll complain about it. But I love the fact that you guys are committed to this, because this, you guys are bringing community together. I feel like I'm part of your family. So if you want to sign the adoption papers right now, let's do it.
Well, that's good. I'm happy you say that. And actually, let me ask you, if you're feeling that way, what was the first encounter you had with us? Was it in the podcast form, or was it on a TikTok or something else?
No, it was the podcast, and it was with Gavin. And I really want to go into how, you know, he made public his training protocol. And I thought, how the hell did you get that out of him? Because most people, when it comes to training, you know, it's the Bruce Lee rule. Don't let your enemy see your playbook.
Yeah, it's almost like the opposite for him, because he knows he's just going to work harder than you. So he'll give you his program. He doesn't really care. It's interesting when you talk to a lot of these high level guys. We had Bo Nickel on the week before, and he's upfront with how he trains too, because he knows you can't hang with him. So it's one of those, it's very basic, right? The way these guys train, it's nothing special. There's no like secret sauce. The secret sauce is just how hard they work. So yeah, that was a really good podcast. And then obviously he's one of my really good friends. So he was happy to share.
Well, the very fact that you did start off with the video first, and it was just something that kind of just hit you, and then all of a sudden you had a million followers. I mean, you must have been in shock, because I mean, when you go viral, you have to explain viral to other people. What does it mean? And I mean, it's such a great feeling to be in that position.
Yeah. It's interesting, because when you go viral out of nowhere or without trying, you're now trying to keep up with what wasn't real in a sense, right? You didn't work for that. So the podcast is, I think, going to be a lot sweeter, and it's going to make a lot more sense when it does grow, right? So in TikTok, for example, we went really, really high, and then there's obviously going to be times where it's not as high. So you have to deal with that roller coaster of emotions. And the podcast is, okay, we're setting and starting at ground zero. So when it does go viral, or it may not even just be viral, it's just the overwhelming amount of people that want to watch us, it's going to feel, I think, a lot sweeter than this like flash in the pan viral video that happened to us out of nowhere.
You bring up the emotional side of watching those numbers. I mean, I am a numbers cruncher. I will sit there and break it down to figure out, okay, what did I do wrong this week that I wasn't doing?
Yeah.
And I mean, does it get into your soul that way too? And how do you move beyond that mountain?
Oh yeah. I think it's just going through it. Like the highs get really high in the beginning, and then the lows get really low, and you try to analyze and pick apart, okay, this is what the intro has to be, and this is how the ending has to be. I think at the end of the day, what we've realized is, like, as long as you stay authentic and you try to have as much fun as possible, really never forget your roots and why you went viral in the first place. And same thing with you, right? If you, and I know people that are more analytic than anything, and they'll go back and say, okay, I'm going to do exactly what I just did for this post or this podcast, and the results aren't there. You're fighting a battle that you really can't win, because you can't control these algorithms. Mm-hmm. But what you can do is just, again, create what you know is really great content and focus more on the input and less on the outcome.
Right. I mean, Arrow, there's such a thing called paralysis by analysis, right? when you get too deep, that's not good. You know, he's very different than I am. I watch the videos, and I see things that I always find entertaining, but I also see things that I would rather do differently next time. The views are a byproduct of that.
Yeah.
Even on our best videos, I go back and I look at the first video that went viral. And to your point, well, what's viral? I didn't know what viral was, but I soon found out when he explained and said, "Dad, we got to do it again because we've got over 8 million views of the first cocktail that I made that I smoked in Manhattan." But I look back at that video and I'm like, man, that was terrible. Like the mistakes, the things that I did, I don't even know why I did them. But again, I did them authentically because I was making a drink for myself. I wasn't out there trying to do it differently for an audience. So today, his focus is one thing, mine's another. I don't get in the weeds of the views. The views to me are not driving truly what our commitment now is. Our commitment is this, having our routine, our discipline. And to your point of a guy like anyone who's a Gavin, who's gonna work out, you go to the gym, you show up, you do the same things over and over again, repetition, time over task.
Yep.
And before you know it, you're competing and you're one of the strongest.
I'm glad that you brought up that you go back and watch yourself. And the reason why is because I'm a radio guy. We air check ourselves. That's how we become better and better and better. And so a lot of people don't understand that it has nothing to do with conceit or overconfidence, that we are studying to make the product better.
Yeah. Yeah. I was listening to our podcast this morning, you know, the one that which is you and I talking about technology. And I'm listening to it. I'm like, gosh, it's hard. It's so hard sometimes to listen to yourself talk, let alone watch.
Yeah.
And I think listening for me is harder than even watching, because the distraction of watching is that, it's the visual. But the listening part, I'm so critical of the breath that I would take, the pause that you'll make. And you know this, right? Things that you understand that I'm only learning, I'm just learning, but I'm already picking up real quick on. And so it's hard. That in itself is something you got to be careful with. Don't, again, overanalyze what you're doing. Just be committed to showing up and doing it.
If you could see me here in the studio, I sit here with a writing instrument in my hand and I'm jotting down notes as we go. And that's the reason why you can't see me on the camera, because I'm everywhere in this room. I mean, I am no different than Jim Cramer, who can't sit still. How did you get him to sit still behind a microphone?
Didn't.
Well, we were giving him some mezcal, so he was kind of comfortable maybe that way.
But I mean, I was actually going to compliment you and the other guys we were on today. You guys really do have radio voice. Like, you just sound. Again, we have to always be improving, and we're taking mental notes about how you're approaching this little interview too.
Yeah. This is no little interview. It's a big interview, right? Arrow, this is a big one for you.
It's a big one. It's a big one. But, you know, you talk about the people that you have been with and things, and you also talked about the numbers and the disappointment sometime when they don't come in when you have a big interview. That's one of the reasons why I made it a point. I will never try to get an interview with Paul McCartney, because I feel like that there'll be so much anxiety in show prepping that the payoff will not be on the other side. And so, therefore, I've had to convince myself, and I'm sure you guys are the same thing, it's the experience of creating the podcast and going through the conversation. There's nothing greater than that. Do you agree?
Yeah. Well, once you fall in love with that process, and then it's so interesting that you say that, because I've always thought, okay, hypothetically, if we can name some sort of ideal guest that I wanted on right now, would we even want it? I don't know. I don't know if we're ready mentally and we haven't prepared. We've only been doing this for 2 months, so it would probably be more beneficial if it happened in a year from now. So we're kind of just trusting the process and enjoying the day by day stuff.
Balancing alcohol with a healthy lifestyle. You guys get really real being, just right. You're not afraid to talk about things.
Correct.
Well, you have to listen. If you're going to be authentic, you got to be authentic all the way.
Yep.
There are certain things that are private that we're not going to talk about because we don't need to go there, but we stay in the space that's relevant and I think connects with our audience. And that's another part of the evolution of this, trying to find out what our audience wants to know or needs to know and how we can better convey that message and be responsible with it. There's a huge undercurrent and a movement, I think, especially of the younger generation that wants to, enhance that there's a soundbite, you know, being your better self. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of that right now. Oh, be your better self, a better version of yourself. Okay, I understand what that means, but to truly embrace that is somewhat painful at times, because you need to look at yourself and know what your faults are and say, okay, don't stay there. Like, go forward, evolve, try things out, and have fun with it. And most of the things will work out over time. Everything works out, right? Over time, the day starts the next day. It's a clean slate. You can do it over. You can do it differently. You can do it better.
I would love to see the research on the listeners that tap in, because they wish they had the same kind of relationship with their father. And that listening to you guys is that it makes me feel like that, because I did not get to talk with my father. And so to have conversations like that, I was always the knucklehead, or he would accuse me of being the know-it-all. You know, I mean, for you guys to have the conversations that you do is a beautiful picture. And to hear it in a podcast is great for the imagination.
Thank you. Well, it's to his credit, to be honest with you, because if we didn't have this venue, our relationship would be probably, you know, like the most commonplace. I mean, let's be realistic. I sit down all day on a Tuesday and I talk with or listen to him and the other people talk. That venue was created because of him. This was his vision. I have a full-time job. I still have a full-time job. So, you know, put your head down and pedal, work and go, provide for your family. This is the dad's role. This is what I signed up for. And yeah, while you'd love to stop all of that and ask each one of your kids to go to lunch or to go to dinner and have a conversation, it's not realistic. It's not like you don't want to do that as a parent. It's just the opportunity isn't always there. Mm-hmm. We have this opportunity. I have the gift to work with my daughter, who's our social media manager.
Yeah.
I have the place to have my wife involved and have my other son and my other daughter involved. And so this is what has come our way, and we're having as much fun as you can have, but it's work and it's challenging. And there's that day to day is not always fun. The day-to-day gets tedious.
I want to touch on something when you were talking about developing the voice. First of all, to go from terrestrial radio to podcasting, that was one of the biggest struggles, because getting a podcast voice versus a radio voice, completely different. But I think that what you need to do is listen to those, the jocks that are on the air today and other podcasts, impersonate them. But then in because there's Casey Kasem was huge in my life. Therefore, that's the storyteller. And you learn to figure out who is it that you want to be. And then, and it really is a gift to those that you're listening to that you would sound like them. But you guys have got incredible voices, because you are in an age where it's all about being natural. It's not about grinding your vocals and but talking like a big time jock. You know, those days are over.
I want to be like Wolfman Jack.
Oh my God,
Wolfman Jack.
Oh baby, you got the wolf daddy here. Can you imagine what he was gargling with at night when that show was over?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know. Do you know who Casey Kasem is?
Yeah.
All right, you heard of Casey, but Wolfman Jack, that guy grew up, was like, that was the guy.
Yeah.
That was the guy.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Oh, his autograph is right behind me. And because he would always come to town, because he was always trying to be with the people. And he was lived in North Carolina as well. So, but you guys are so real. And that's what makes me inspired by listening to you. So I hear how you have a conversation. I'm inspired. I will try to converse just like you guys do.
Cool. All right.
Thank you,
Errol. Good stuff. All right. How much more time do we have? I mean, we could talk forever here.
Oh, we got 3 days. let's talk about the wine, because when you guys put the subject on the wine, I thought right away, I'm going, oh wow, I always thought wine was for girls, but you don't really make that true. You make it for everybody.
Sure.
It's a culture thing, though. It's just where we're from, and I guess being of Italian descent, it's in our family. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that you even said that, because people in New Jersey have never, maybe it's just the East Coast or Northeast, have never seen wine as just a girl thing, and it's probably the opposite here. Like, more dudes are into red wine than the girls that I know, for sure.
Yeah, because I've always thought, well, when I see the guys buying the wine, I'm going, oh, it's a Friday night. Okay, I understand what's happening here. You're going to use the wine to soften up the scene. And so, but at the same time, right. I see a lot of guys buying those big old 12 packs of beer, too.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Yeah, again, around here, people, guys will buy wine to go out with other guys. It's very, very normal.
Yeah, and we celebrate that. I have a group of friends that elevates the game when you talk about wine. I mean, you can run the gamut. You can get a good, you know, $20 bottle of Cabernet, and then upscale it to $250 bottle of French wine. So there's that whole other what we call life experience, right? That has the common thread, which is wine, and especially with the guys that I socialize with, it is in itself a reason to get together. Everyone bring a bottle of wine, let's try it. Everyone, you know, pull from a different region and let's try those wines together and let's have some fun and rank them. And I hear a lot of people, you know, doing the same thing with like scotch. Yes. And whiskeys. Yes. And bourbons. Yep. So, yep. Let's face it, that's the best way to celebrate friendships as well as in this case, the spirit that you're hosting.
Online gambling is up in the they're trying to decide if we can legally do it here in North Carolina. So the fact that you guys were talking about it shows how in touch you are with your audience.
Yeah. Who did this research for you? Did you do this on your own?
Dude, you have to see up? You. I am a research freak, man. I show prep 2 and 3 days out of each conversation.
That's amazing, man. And that, like something like that, for example, it impresses us so much that now I have to make sure, and we just hired like a pre-producer for our guests, but we got to make sure we come correct and have these sort of loaded questions and information. But yeah, I mean, that was a really interesting topic of conversation with Bill Prasquerel. I never realized that he was the one that brought New Jersey online gambling to the surface and is pretty active in making sure that it's followed up by the rest of the states. And it's one of those things that when you have it in New Jersey, it just makes sense. And then when you go to other states that don't, it's almost like you're confused as to why they're not adopting the same thing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to come back to this show anytime in the future. I mean, guys, I Absolutely. Love talking with you. And you know, what a better way to promote than to talk with other podcasters who have their listening audience. It becomes your listening audience. And it's a community is what it is.
Yeah, Absolutely. And it should be. That should be. And I'm glad that we did this and that iHeart obviously set it up for this purpose. But we experienced that when we went out to South by Southwest Conference.
Oh, man.
And iHeart had hosted. And I got to meet Holly Fry, right? You got to meet Holly. She was great. And there was, you know, you wanted more of that. You know, Matt Frederick and their show. I mean, there was just, I wanted to get more of that and closer to that. And so, you know, that's how you do learn, but you also are going to pull from the experiences and the exchange. And it's healthy for everyone.
Yep.
Once in a while to know that you didn't bring your best. And even though you think it came through as being less than good, no, it didn't come through that way. So you're all right. Just get back up and do it again.
Yeah,
right. So
it.
You're not gonna. Yeah. So today is a great example of that for us. We've now ran through here 6 different interviews, and each one of them's different. But the more we're doing, right, the more we're flowing, the more we're engaged.
Well, we
could go another hour here and I think then find that, wow, we really did well.
Yeah.
So,
wow. Well, you guys be brilliant today. Okay.
Yeah. You too, buddy.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Cool. Good stuff.